T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley, with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
All right, Clint. We'll get a full, more current message of what the injury report looks like. But a couple of things here. We're looking at Texans corner Derek Stingley Jr. again not practicing with that hamstring injury, as well as Rex Burkhead. So that kind of looks like, as we're sitting here on Thursday, both of those guys probably not going to be in. But back at practice, some of the vets who were out, Malik Collins, Mario Addison, Blake Cashman, who was out, Brandon Cooks, they're back, Jerry Hughes as well. Another one here, I think this is an important one, because this season has become about the young players. Christian Harris with the shoulder, he practiced for the second day in a row, Clint. I think that's a big sign, because he is somebody. We've talked about certain players we want to see. Christian Harris is somebody that we want to see more. And in this matchup, which we believe it's a lot of Nick Chubb, a lot of Kareem Hunt, and even David Njoku has been a favorite target for them in the middle of the field, this would be a good test to see where Christian Harris has been, because he's one of the players, Clint, that I would argue you do like what you've seen as – the season has moved on. Obviously, he started late, but he has looked good the more he's played.
Yeah, look, I listened to Miles Smith talk today over at NRG.
Linebackers coach.
Yeah, linebackers coach, and he had some pretty interesting things. I know yesterday one of my six games left in the season, six things I'd like to see. One of them is Christian Harris not just playing, but absolutely making plays and flashing on the TV. Again, I'm not saying he's got to go out there and lead the team in tackles, but go out there and have a play here or there over the next 6 weeks that we all remember of going, that's the guy that the Texans drafted, and that's exactly what they expect, an athletic. And the terms, the verbiage that Miles Smith used today, his linebackers coach with the Texans used today, was elite athleticism. Said there's already plays showing up on film that other linebackers aren't going to make because they're not as athletic as him. I want to see those as a fan watching the TV. And so it was very, very good to hear Miles Smith talk about him today, because he's talking as if, hey, he's coming. Yes, he got a late start. Yes, he's banged up right now. But they are actually designing plays and schemes around Christian Harris and his athletic ability. And that's not me talking. That's Miles Smith talking today. And they're using him as a will linebacker, which there's two linebackers that for the most part, 99% of the time, are always on the field. 99% always. That doesn't add up, right? But the majority of the time, the defense is designed where the will and the Mike linebacker don't come off the field unless there's some kind of extenuating circumstances. That's why he's playing Will. They do not want him coming off the field. They've also got some packages where he can play Sam, linebacker, strong side linebacker in certain situations. And so good to hear that coming from the horse's mouth of, hey, he's not only playing, they're seeing some things on film, they're designing and creating some schemes around his athletic ability. Okay, now, as fans, you got 6 weeks. Let's see it.
Like you said yesterday, okay, we're doing these things, we've got to start to see a flash.
That's it.
Right, we've heard them say that about certain guys. Like, hey, man, we're like what we're seeing from Nico Collins. There's some things we're doing. Now you want to see him flash. You want to see that, because if you're gonna come out and tell us, just like y'all said about, you know, Eno Benjamin that, hey, man, he is a dynamic player. This is a guy that has speed and he is dynamic. Well, hell, he hadn't dressed. We want to see it. Now, if you're saying, like, we're seeing stuff on tape that he can do stuff that other people can't do, then we got to start seeing it.
Agreed.
Like, if you're designing stuff, we got to start seeing it. So if you're saying it, damn it, we need to see it. Yep. And we can understand what you're saying, because when the draft came out, you watched him, you covered him with Alabama.
Yeah.
Like, we understand what he could do. We just don't want to start to see it flash more.
Yeah. And that's the thing is I don't want to, because obviously right now around the Houston Texans, you got to work to find some positive angles right now. We've talked negatively, justifiably so, about offense and defense, but there are. I don't want in any way, shape, or form people to think like, look, these guys are so handcuffed they can't go make plays. No, Jordan Akins is still flashing on offense. Brandon Cook still flashes. Damian Pierce still flashes, right? You look on the defensive side of the football. Earlier in the season, Petrie was flashing, right? Stingley's had a couple of moments where I'd say they were good plays. I don't know if they were necessarily flashing. There's opportunity in 60 to 70 plays a game. There's opportunity to go out there and jump off the screen at us if
defensive
you're playing
line.
Linebacker.
Some defensive line guys.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Hughes has flashed. But you look at it and you go, okay, there's 60 to 70 plays. They're designing things around his elite athletic ability, and they're making it a conscious effort for him damn near to never come off the field. He should flash, Joe. Now, maybe not as much as he will hopefully one day when that defense overall is improved. But even without a defensive line that can keep the linemen off of the linebackers, he should flash from time to time. We got 6 weeks left. We should see it.
Yeah. Also, this is the one to look at here. Texans rookie guard Kenyon Green. He didn't practice today. He was limited yesterday. It's illness, not feeling well. He wasn't feeling well on Wednesday, and he's not feeling well today, so much so that he didn't practice. Man. If there is anybody on this team, I know Derek Stingley is one, but if there is anybody on this team that needs reps, that needs to get out there, man, it's him. You know, like to not miss any time. I don't care, you know, that he's being subbed at times for Justin McCray, but he got to work. He got to work at guard. He has to at some point. Like, he has to work. If you're gonna take a chance at drafting a guard in the first round in the top 15, when you could have moved up to go get other players, there are gonna be players around Kenyon Green, in which, if you remember, the Texans moved back to get him.
Yeah.
There are gonna be players around. Jordan Davis is one that comes to mind. There'll be players around there, you're like, damn it.
Yeah.
They should have got and players in need. He's gotta work and he's gotta keep getting reps.
Yeah, it is here's the thing. If he doesn't, I'm not real big on, you know, and I don't want to take this thing back to Nick Caserio in a negative light, but I'm not real big on like looking at a corner and he does or doesn't work, because like unless he's just a full blown bust. Right, I mean, it's probably going to end up being a pretty valuable pick, even if he's just a good, solid, really good corner that can play multiple coverages and tackles well. It's going to be good, but I'm going to tell you what. The one thing that I think is or should be expected from a front office or a talent evaluator or a draft evaluator is like when you take the leap to take a guard or center,
mm-hmm.
top 15 in a draft.
As many people will tell you.
You can't miss that.
No, you can't, because there are a lot of people who find those players later in the draft.
You don't make that move unless you are
feel real good
about like the miss. It's one thing to draft a receiver there or a tackle there or a defensive end or a corner. I mean, those guys are different breeds and have to be like, I don't know. I just think those are, it's harder to evaluate than a guard or a center. Like it's, if you take a swing on a guard at 15, like he can't be what we watched in pass protection a couple of weeks ago. Like that was, he clearly has a weakness, if you will. You got to either find a play caller that can help him and protect that, and really a combination of two things. You got to find a play caller that can help and protect that, and he's got to get better quick and in a hurry.
You were at 13, and Jordan Davis went at 13. Kyle Hamilton went at 14.
Who?
And Treylon Burks is a little bit further back there. I mean, there are players there in that range where, you know, I'm not – and once again, when people hear this, oh, you're giving up. No, you're not giving up on Kenyon Green. I'm just saying, boy, he needs to get – we've watched. He needs to get reps.
Yes.
He needs to get time. He has struggled, and he needs to get on the horse and get back on there.
So you get – like, you draft a defensive end, a rush end, and he gives you 7-8 sacks a year instead of 14, 15, 16 – you can say, oh, he's not all he was cracked up to be. He was a top 10 or a top 15 guy. But he's still being productive.
And he can play.
Yeah, he's helping.
He can play, and he's a guy that's a rotation guy.
A guard that can't pass protect, that has to be subbed in obvious passing situations, that's a major miss. So, yes, he needs to be in there. He needs to be in there playing, getting better. And if not, then it's not just shame on him. That's one that I think is going to be a problem for Nick Caserio moving forward as well.
Yeah, your two first-round picks are – Are ones you got to hit in this at corner and guard.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, Deshaun Watson spoke to the media today. This is the latest coming from James Palmer, NFL Network. This is the latest on what they're reporting on, what potentially the Texans may be seeing offensively against the Browns on Sunday.
Kevin Stefanski has told us he's not sure how Deshaun Watson knocks the rust off. Watson, I asked him that question. He's not entirely sure how he does it. Now, Lovie Smith, the Texans head coach, believes they're going to go out and run the football. He believes that's the identity. He said when a guy's coming back like this, you don't go and throw it 50 times. Now, Deshaun Watson really praised Nick Chubb a lot during this press conference, how excited he is to play with him as one of the best running backs in football. Also, Kareem Hunt, part of that backfield. So he even talked about relying on that run game as a big part of this offense. And we know, Baldy, how that run defense is for the Houston Texans. But in terms of the passing game in this game and moving forward, Amari Cooper told us that some of the routes that they're running are a little bit different than where they were running with Jacoby Brissett, and Donovan Peoples-Jones also told me some of the stuff in terms of off script that Deshaun Watson's been so good with throughout his career is something that they've worked on a lot and is something that is going to continue to build this year. But again, a lot of people looking towards Baldy, that run game in this first game back to focus on with Deshaun Watson against the Texans.
You know, now that we're looking at on the field stuff and you hear that explanation and you start to think about just on the field, like we said this a bit, this potentially is the best situation Deshaun Watson has ever been in. When you look at the offensive line in front of him combined with the backs and what they can do behind him, and he's got a number one receiver, and I'm not saying he's Hopkins, but he's got a number one receiver in Amari Cooper. This is probably the best tight end, most talented tight end that he's probably played with David Njoku. And we're starting to hear, like, this offense talking about they're working on some of the off-script stuff. This has a chance to be, you know, a scary offense and maybe the best all-around parts that's been surrounded around Deshaun Watson.
Oh, I think you can look at DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller and say that he doesn't have those caliber weapons right now. But I agree with you as a whole, man. There's no one player that's better than a run game. You know, in terms of a quarterback being able to play at a high level, a quarterback being able to go out there and go 25 of 29 for, you know, 200 plus yards and 3 touchdowns, like there's nothing better. There's nothing more friendly than a run game. There's nothing after a run game. There's nothing more friendly than a productive tight end that can put his hand in the dirt and be an outlet on pressures and be a weapon in play action. And Njoku is that guy. And look, there's no receiver other than the erasers like DeAndre Hopkins. There's probably 3 or 4 of them in the league that can take a bad ball and make it a touchdown grab. I mean, there's nothing more powerful other than that at the receiver position, other than a really, really good, really productive receiver that has great chemistry, understands timing, has a quarterback mindset like Amari Cooper. So yeah, this offense has a chance to they're already the number 5 offense in the NFL right now in terms of yards per game at 377 roughly. You add Deshaun Watson to the mix, you got to think that gets better.
Yeah, they said they're running different routes.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of things that was interesting to me. One, that they're running different routes. Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah.
They're running different routes. And one of the first things that Deshaun said was this is a quarterback-friendly offense. Expound on that. What's he talking about? This is a much more quarterback friendly offense.
Oh, the run game. I mean, it's your run game makes, like, when you've got a good run game, it limits what a defense can do. Like all the middle of the field open, the cover twos, the cover sixes, the cover fours, and all the hybrid coverages off that where there's two safeties deep. You'll have to see it. I mean, to some degree, teams will try it, but you won't get a steady dose of it because they're constantly having to add that safety to a box to stop the run. And so when you've got a single safety on the roof, you're getting cover three or you're getting man. That's it, right? Now, there's some hybrid coverages where they'll play cover three to one side and man up the other side, yada, yada, yada. But there's in the big scheme of things, when you can run the football, you force the defense into being much, much more vanilla, which obviously is quarterback friendly. Then, you know, you talk about getting really, really good reads on safeties and linebackers. And when you can run the football, your play action is it creates 10-yard windows instead of 3-yard windows. It creates 2 seconds of time to operate instead of a half a second. You know, so it's extremely quarterback friendly in terms of having a run game. The weapons around him, I would say, are quarterback friendly. And then you look at like, I think the receivers saying they've been running different routes is a real good peek behind the curtain of how, kind of like what level Kevin Stefanski in the Green Bay, the Cleveland Browns offense is operating on. They're like, obviously, you sit down with your quarterback. Hey, what do you like? Your quick game, what do you like? Hey, your mid-range game, they all like the quick game. Your mid-range game, what do you really like? You like that, or do you see the field work better on the outside the numbers? Do you see the field better on in breaking routes? Do you like to speed cut your dig, or do you like to square cut the dig route? You know what I mean? Like, all those kind of things are Jacoby Brissett likes one set, Deshaun Watson likes another, and so they should be running different routes. They should be running the same routes with different details applied to them. So that makes sense. Kevin Stefanski's a pretty advanced offensive mind in the game right now, so that makes sense.
Well, this is a lot of Texans fans dream to see Deshaun in this offense. This is the Gary Kubiak offense, and I hear him say quarterback friendly. I bet you there are a lot easier answers for him in the passing game.
And
outlets and routes and a lot of rolling, a lot of stuff to where not the perfect play that he kept trying to have to get in here.
Yeah, and show the other thing is, like, quarterback friendly, like, try to disguise coverages if you want to.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, try to disguise coverages if you want to. Roll the strong safety down strong and your weak safety back over the top, and then watch him hit a run with one of the two running backs that they got that they can hit their head on a goalpost. Watch them just gash you and catch you out of position because you're disguising coverages. So, yeah, this is an offense that makes it tough. And you add Deshaun Watson to the list, it makes it tough on the other side as well. Of like, okay, now you're going to have a hell of a time stopping the pass as well once he gets in a groove.
Pretty simple.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, Thursday night football tonight, Bills-Patriots. The Bills, I think still people think are Super Bowl contenders. They have looked a little different than they did at the beginning of the year, not as thought to be as formidable. They're 0 for their division right now. They need a win on the road. Quickly, who you got winning this game?
Bills. Yep.
I'd have thought this would have been a blowout early. Something's weird with Josh Allen. He's not quite the elite player that he has been here the last
stretch.
Few weeks.
He had a rough stretch. And he had a couple of inopportune turnovers. May need to dial it in a bit, but I think this is not. The Von Miller dynamic on the defensive side of the football, now that's a game changer. But that, to me, that's a game changer when they run into Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jacksons and those kind of guys. Not in this particular ballgame. I really like the Bills here tonight.
I'd be interested to see what Belichick has in store for him, the way he's kind of struggled just a bit from where he was earlier. Coming up, really, really cool event we want to tell you about that you got to see. And I can't wait till I can be a part of it. I'm hurting right now. We'll discuss what that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, our guy Danny Cannell will join us. There's a lot going on. It's his championship weekend. The Heisman Trophy ceremony will be coming up soon. So come on in and stay tuned for one of the best in the business talking college sports with also one of the best in the business talking college sports, myself, Clint Sterner.
Well done. I love it. That was slick. I was shaping my mouth to say, thanks, Bob.
The showman.
You know I can't let you live that well. By the way, if you missed it, injury report out for the Texans. Kenyon Green. He did not practice after being a limited participant, and we talked about it just a little bit ago in the last segment. He is sick. Was ill yesterday, limited in practice, ill today. That took him completely out of practice. So that's one to keep an eye on, where you could potentially see your top two picks, your two first round picks, not in the game coming up on Sunday with Derek Stingley, who I think Lovey doesn't like to hold. Or to give away competitive advantages, but he all but has said that Derek Stingley is out. He didn't even want to trick the Browns into thinking that he could come back. But I guess competitive advantages.
You know, that's a really good point.
I've been thinking about it since I said it.
I haven't thought about it.
You didn't think about it yet?
But since you said it, let me expound a bit. Is that the proper usage of that term?
That's good, man. That's good.
Nailed it.
Is that right?
Okay. Nailed it.
So I regret stopping and asking. I would say, when you look at Davis Mills and Kyle Allen,
I'm part of the Mills Mafia too.
And the difference between the two, I would say that there is a significant difference. And the opponent's level of care, the opponent's ability to scheme and take advantage of, really the opponent's ability to use that bit of information. Like there is zero doubt that Derek Stingley not playing is tenfold more valuable than whether Kyle Allen or Davis Mills.
Absolutely.
Is starting. I mean, tenfold more valuable.
Absolutely. To the future, to the game, whatever.
Yes. Yes. I mean, like just, whew. So anyway.
I mean, but I will give it because Landry has been annoyed about his contradictions, and this is that's a strong one. I mean, he's just come out and just basically. I mean, he could have hit it, like he could have made people every week think Jonathan Bernard was going to play,
right?
Since he's been off of IR, he could do it right
guy.
Here.
Yeah,
we got a prep for him. We don't have a competitive advantage. My man out there just going up there saying stuff, dog.
Yeah, that one's going to haunt my man Lovey a bit, I think.
He's just going up there just saying stuff, baby. You have a talking point. You got to stick to that talking point.
Wouldn't it be good, though, to have a little bit of a rapport with Lovey to where, like, down the road you could say, hey, Lovey, what about that competitive advantage, bro?
Like competitive advantage. Hey, man, I got that competitive advantage, huh?
It's no.
I know. Ain't nobody going to ask you about advantage. It because you get mad these days.
Yeah, I didn't think I should do it today.
Yeah, you're gonna get PO'd. But so that is the latest. By the way, hey man, I saw you guys' shoes. They're pretty nice. Pretty nice. The Texans really hooked us up this week.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I guess they're gonna take care of me here.
They got you, man. They feel really bad for that. But yeah, look, I mean, the my cause, my cleats campaign, if you will, in the NFL. Everybody's seen it out there. They paint up the different their cleats and their custom paint jobs. Well, the coaches the coaches and support staff, I think, started doing it a couple of years back where they would wear Air Force Ones, and the Air Force Ones were solid white, but then they were custom painted for whatever cause that support staff or that coach wanted. Well, the Texans did us a big-time solid, man, and they included all their media partners, all of us here at Sports Radio 610. They gave us all the opportunity to get a pair on the house and with our own cause, charity, foundation, whatever it is that's near and dear to our own hearts. And they all came in today, man, and they are
fly, man.
They're super fly, man. I did mine for Emma's hugs, and it was more than just a shoe for me, because this is one we lost my brother in 2016, and before losing my brother, we started raising money for Emma's hugs, because over the 18 months that he fought cancer, Emma's hugs was the cause, the organization, the foundation that he wanted to raise money for, he wanted to give back to. And what Emma's Hugs does is they pay for patients and their families parking at the Med Center here in Houston. And so it's local. It obviously has the touch of my brother being involved. We lost my brother in 2016. We continued as a family to do fundraisers for Emma's Hugs. And they've been near and dear to our heart. And crazy story, show. When I asked my brother before he passed, I asked him, I said, what, you know, him and his wife, Ginger, I said, what do y'all want to, let's not wait until something happens, or let's not wait until you beat it or you don't, and to do something, you know, for somebody. Let's start now while you're here and be a part of it. And so they got their heads together, came back, and Emma's Hugs is who they wanted to work with, because Emma's Hugs had approached them during one of his treatments at MD Anderson. So we contacted Emma's Hugs on the backside and said, hey, we want to possibly do some stuff to help you guys raise money. The lady at the time that was running Emma's Hugs, and Emma and her family, were all Baytown people. We didn't know that at the time. Like, we had no idea. We literally went and met with them the first time, and it was less than a mile away from my brother's house to the lady's house that was running the organization at the time. So really, really cool story, and I was – anytime that I can drum up those memories of my brother and with my brother, it's really cool. So a big shout out to the Texans for what they're doing for all
Emma's
of us.
Hugs.
Emma's Hugs, man. Yeah, it's some of the one of the things I love about them, show, is that it's not just geared towards, you know, patients and families that are fighting cancer. It's the entire Med Center. And parking is a major, major expense, as anybody out there knows, is a major, major expense. If you have a family member or you yourself are having to go on a weekly or daily basis, it's super, super expensive, man. So it's got a large reach and helps a lot of people. So I'm glad my brother, before he left us, I'm glad he got us involved with him.
Emma's Hugs. For me, man, Crittenden Children's Center. I worked there for 10 years.
Yep.
I've always had a passion and a heart for kids. That's my other thing. These are kids, mental hospital, anywhere from suicidal thoughts or behavior issues. I've been spit on, kicked on, but, you know, cried with, you know, and all that. And, you know, they always need a lot of help, a lot of equipment, a lot of things.
You know what's cool about that show is, like I've known you for 3+ years now, and I think a big part of who you are, like, I don't know if you'd realize it, but you naturally gravitate to some of those, to bringing them into conversations about you as a person,
absolutely,
as a man.
It helped.
It's pretty cool.
10 years there helped shape a lot of things that I saw. So, man, any and stuff I want to kind of get involved here in the city of Houston with children's mental hospitals. Just always been something that I've dealt with. So, man, a great cause. Who was yours? What was your cause, Tyler?
I went with diabetes research, man. I growing up, didn't really know a lot about diabetes. We didn't have anyone really close to me who had diabetes. I knew a little about it. But my wife, once I met her, she's been a type 1 diabetic since she was like 9 or 10 years old. So I've learned a lot about diabetes, the daily struggle of diabetes with my wife. It's a crappy disease. So I went with diabetes research. The Diabetes Research Institute.
That's cool, man.
Man, you talk about touching a lot of people, man. There's
insulin's expensive, man. We need a cure for this thing.
Yeah, that's cool that the Texans gave us the opportunity really to shine a light on so many big time causes, man. So keep an eye on our social medias, man. I'm posting stuff as we speak with some pictures of the and videos of the shoes that we all received. And
now, awesome thing for the Texans. Listen, man, we get on the Texans a lot in their organization for of some of the issues they have, but they have done a really good job of things like this, trying to connect with the fan base, the community, and even with us. And this is another example of it. So a cool situation there. I really want to know how old Tyler was when that song came out, because I don't believe that song touched him the way it may have touched
Air
us.
Force Ones.
That came out, got to be 2001, 2002.
Yeah, I was probably a preteen.
Yeah, I know. I was a senior in high school. I know that touched me, and that I don't think it got to you as much as it did. All right, if you want to get touched for this game and find a way where to listen to it, right here, Sports Radio 610, Texans Brown, Sunday afternoon, Texans countdown at 9, kickoff is at noon, and then as soon as the clocks hit zero, you can listen to the Texans post game right here on Sports Radio 610. College football analyst Danny Cannell will get his thoughts on the playoff and the Heisman front runners. We'll discuss that with him next on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, that's right. As we get going to championship weekend, no better person to talk to than our guy, Danny Cannell. Danny is brought to you by BetOnline.net. Check out BetOnline for updated college football playoff, conference, Heisman, and college football conference championship lines, which I know you guys are doing a lot of hard work with. My thing, I want to get right to it with you, Danny, is this. With Georgia, Michigan, TCU, all undefeated, can all three of those teams lose and still make it to the college football playoff?
Oh, boy. All right. So I'll give you what I think that should be the case, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense that the other teams, Bama and Ohio State primarily, sitting there at 5 and 6, could just sit at home, have some popcorn, eat some pizza, and watch these other teams risk it all while they just get to sit and watch. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't think that should happen, but I'm a little bit nervous. I'm not nervous for Georgia. I'm not nervous for Michigan. They've got the brands. They've got big wins. Georgia's defending champion. Like, I don't think they're at risk. I'm worried for USC. I think if USC suffers a second loss, they're very much in doubt. And I've argued back and forth on what I think will happen with TCU. Now, I am totally like, man, they have done enough. They don't need to do anything more. If they lose, they still deserve to advance. But I don't know if the committee will do that. You know, that's what worries me, because I've always rooted for chaos, typically. Like, I want to see the system blown up. I want to see expansion, which we're going to get, which is awesome. But this year, I actually want chalk, because I look at what TCU has done. I look at what USC has done. And I think those teams deserve to play in the playoffs. I think they deserve to play for a national championship. And I think it would be bad for college football if either one of them lost and they were left out, and you let, you know, Ohio State just bump right back up there after they lost at home in ugly fashion, and Bama with two losses, or any, you know, Tennessee. But I just think it's a bad look for college football. So I feel very confident in Georgia, Michigan, no matter what. I'm a little bit worried about TCU, and I think if USC loses, they're out.
I mean, that's exactly where I'm at, Danny. I want to get this from you, though. I want Danny Cannell's eye test. I don't like talking general 30,000 foot view eye test with just the world, because I don't, quite frankly, I don't care what the world thinks about eye test. But Danny Cannell's eye test, I want to know who Danny Cannell believes the best four football teams are in America based off of the football that you've watched this year.
Georgia is a lock, and they're the number one team. So that feels justified. It feels right. Michigan, 2. I feel like they're a lock, too. Now, here's the problem with what you're asking me, Clint, because you're asking me for eyes, like who looks the best? Like, is it? Then we just have Alabama every time off the bus, they get to play. But that's why I'm such a fan of football, is because it's the greatest team sport we've ever known, right? And we've seen upsets happen. We've seen teams that aren't as physical, that aren't as appealing as other teams, beat them. You know, we've seen upsets happen all the time. I think Alabama wins the eye test, but they've got two losses. So at some point, you've got to dock them for that, which is why, like, if you went to the NFL route, the New England Patriots might have had the greatest team of all time when they were 18-0, but they didn't get 19-0. They lost to the New York Giants. You know, like, so there's different ways you can look at it. If it's eye test, and then I would probably go Ohio State, which a lot of metrics, too, agree with me because they have the most athletic players. They've got the biggest offensive and defensive line. They've got great quarterbacks. But you know what? For whatever reason, they've been beaten. And in Alabama's case, twice. And in Ohio State's case, they got beat at home by a better team. So that's why that's why one of the reasons I love the TCU story, because they don't pass the eye test. You know, no one picked them to even win the Big 12. No one picked them to win in the top three or four of the Big 12. And yet here they are accomplishing something special. I want to see it continue. I want to see them get a chance because of what they – does that make sense? Like, I feel like I might have copped out of your question.
Yeah, you did. You did a bit, Danny. You did. I agree with what you're saying. I want to know. Like, I understand who. Like, I understand Ohio State on paper has the biggest, baddest dudes, but I just watched them get skull drug, right? Yeah. I've watched. Did I say Alabama and Ohio State? Like, I've watched Ohio State more this year than I care to watch Ohio State, and I understand on paper they've been really good. I think their offense is highly overrated outside of the best receiver in football. Like I think it's highly overrated.
You can miss me with Ohio State. If they get in, I might be out of that game. Like I might be out. You lose by 21 home to your rival without their best player. Right. Nothing about that. And I know that Alabama has two losses. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and say boy, I'm looking to see Alabama get in there for the 18th time. But damn, I mean, they didn't lose by a combined 4 points to teams on the road.
That's why I'm rooting for Chalk. For Chalk. You want Clint? You want me to blow your mind?
Yes.
You want to know something? And this is one of the things where it goes to metrics and eye tests and all these other things. I saw, and it's somebody I trust who, you know, is good with betting lines. A buddy of mine, Bud Elliott, pointed out that if Ohio State and Michigan faced each other on a neutral field, like next week, that Ohio State would be favored by 2.5. Like, I mean, it's just nuts, like, that we even have to have that conversation, right? What? And then, you know, I was talking, I'm like, how can that be possible? And it's happened multiple times. Like, after Alabama lost to LSU, same thing. If Alabama played LSU again, they'd be favored. I heard it with Florida State LSU, that if they played again on a neutral field, which we saw happen and Florida State beat them, that LSU would be favored. Now, these all things can be true, but we have to hold what happened on the field to account, right? There has to be consequences for losing, which is why I'm okay with Bama being out and Ohio State being out. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be accountability for that, because if we just went on eye test and who Vegas and the sports bettors and the books had on there, we would see the top four, you know, most talented teams every single year, which I don't think that's what anybody wants. That's not what sports are for. We're supposed to play to determine it on the field, not, you know, because you have the most 4- and 5-star players, which Bama and Georgia have every single year.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly with your top four and kind of how I'm hoping for Chalk as well. I would love to see all four conferences or four of the five conferences represented instead of two Big Tens.
Why
or two
do you hate the ACC, Clint? Why do you?
Well,
hate
I mean,
the ACC?
If y'all were one of the four, I'd be cool with it. I mean, I'm rooting for your guys down there, man. I need somebody other than Clemson, man. I'm rooting for your guys. So.
No, this is actually one where I played at Florida State. I'm an ACC guy. There's nothing you can say. There's no case you can make for it's been a bad year for the conference. This is just the reality. And that's where I'm kind of okay with. I don't want to be pounding the table. They don't deserve it. That's where it comes back because, you know, Clemson has a lot of 5-stars and they got a lot of NFL talent, but they haven't played real well. So they don't deserve a shot. So I'm totally okay with them being out.
Danny Cannell with us. He's brought to you by BetOnline.net. Danny, as you just talked about Florida State, I do want to get to some Heisman thoughts from you. But you just talked about Florida State there. I'm curious. We've heard that Deion has been offered a couple of jobs, at least Colorado. We've heard Cincinnati could be in the mix.
Where
in the
are
mix,
they?
And Southern Florida, South Florida. Do you think any of those jobs are the moves that Deion would make to leave Jackson State, what he's built there? And I think it's more than just
your run-of-the-mill regular wins and losses there. I think there's something more with what he's doing. Do you think Colorado, South Florida, or Cincinnati are one of the spots that Deion would leave Jackson State for?
Ron, I do. Although I'll say this, I don't think Colorado is his first choice, right? I mean, that's been kind of made clear when he said, I've got an offer from Colorado, and Colorado didn't back down or deny it. So basically what he's told Colorado is, thanks for the offer. Let me shop around and see what else is out there before I commit to you. That's what it feels like to me. And honestly, I think the other options might be better. You know, regionally where Colorado is, it's traditionally been a tough place to recruit. The program's been an absolute mess, you know, for 20 years now. I know Mike McIntyre had a good season there, but and it wouldn't surprise, like, and I'll say this, if Deion took it, I would love it if he made him relevant again, if he could recruit there. I think he'd be the most challenging of them all. But he has proven he's been able to get 4 and 5 stars to come to Oxford, Mississippi to play at a FCS school. Like, if he can do that, he can get players anywhere. But are they going to give him the resources that he needs? And that's where I think USF and Cincinnati come next, where I think Cincinnati is more attractive because they're going to the Big 12. They do have more resources. They have deeper pockets. So I think Cincinnati would be his top choice. And then South Florida, I think, is the second choice. They're not going to be a Power 5 school, but they're going to be in the American, where you've got UCF, Houston, and Cincinnati leaving. That leaves a void that you could step into at USF, a program that wasn't that long ago was ranked number 2 in the country. You could be winning that conference with talent in a, you know, talent-rich state that you could recruit to. And then all of a sudden, you could parlay that, I think, quicker into a job that he really wants, which I do think is in the SEC, you know, or I'll say, or Florida State. Like, those are kind of the jobs that his goal is to be, is that's where he wants to be. If that's the end game, I think Cincinnati or USF make way more sense than Colorado, because I think Colorado, and he's a smart guy, I think that comes with some risks where it might not work. And then all of a sudden, he's got to go back to square one, or some of that shine wears off that, oh, Deion's such a great coach.
Danny, real quick, we want to get two things with you. This weekend, slate, championship games, and then the Heisman as well. Of these games, K-State, TCU, LSU, Georgia, UCF, Tulane, Purdue, Michigan, Clemson, North Carolina, maybe leaving somebody, Utah, USC. Give me a couple of these games that intrigue you the most, and your thoughts on who could possibly upset the other.
I hate to say this, Clint, but I don't really care about the Big Ten or SEC games because they don't matter. You know, they're almost irrelevant because whoever wins, you know, you're going to see Michigan and Georgia. There are two for me, and it's very clear cut teams we're talking about. And they're tight lines, right? They're games that the odds makers have pinned to be very close, and they're both rematches. You know, it's always tough to beat a team twice if you're TCU trying to beat K-State again. And in this case, Utah is trying to beat USC twice and pull them out of the playoffs. And, you know, there's a field goal line in the Utah-USC game, and there's, you know, a 2.5-point line in the TCU-K-State game. So I think those games are clearly the most compelling games of the weekend. I told you, ACC doesn't really matter. So, yeah, I mean, I'll watch it. I'm going to watch all of them. But the games that I really want to be dialed into are those two. And I'll say this. I will have my pom-poms out for the Horned Frogs. I know I ticked off some TCU fans because I was wrong. I thought Texas was going to end the Cinderella story. I'm not doing it again. I'm buying into the team of destiny. I'm buying into Max Duggan. I'm buying into Quentin Johnston coming back, being a contributor in this game. And I think they are on this. And we saw it last week against Iowa State where they finally had a relief. Like, man, we can just play loose. We are good. I think they're starting to realize just how good they can be. They're starting to have fun. And even if it is a close game, who do you trust more than a team that had as many one-possession games as TCU had? So I was wrong when I came on here a few weeks ago. I don't want to be wrong again, so I'll go ahead and back TCU.
And quickly, Danny, is this just Caleb Williams? Is this just his Heisman Trophy to win?
Yes, I think so because, I mean, he'd have to play really, really bad, which, you know, it could happen. He could throw 3 picks, you know, and lose the game ugly. But he is really good. I don't think he's that careless with football. He hasn't really had a bad game all year. And I think he deserves it. He's carried this USC team all the way to the cusp of a playoff appearance. Their defense isn't very good. He's had to win so many games for him. That game worries me because I think Utah is going to be a tough out for him. But I think Caleb Williams will do enough to secure it. And I think it's a formality that he plays this game, goes on New York. And then if he does stumble, who's going to step up and win it? You know, like, is it C.J. Stroud? He didn't impress against Michigan. I think Max Duggan's a story to keep an eye on for TCU. I hope he gets invited. because what he's done is kind of flown under the radar. And if he leads them an undefeated season, I know it's a collaborative effort with the running back. The defense has played well enough, and you got, you know, incredible talent around him. But to me, what he's done in so many clutch situations deserves at least an invite. I hope he gets that after a strong performance this weekend.
All right, Danny, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Enjoy Championship Saturday, as I know we will.
You too, fellas. Always good being on.
All right, that's Danny Cannell, courtesy of betonline.net. What you got coming up at 4, Clint?
Well, we got a little college football to discuss, but as usual, we got Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's coming to town, and I think there's some audio out there. He spoke to the media today. There's a little bit of audio out there that we got to give back to the people. So we'll do that. We'll do that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.